MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As important as choosing the right destination when traveling is choosing the right travel partner.
Gene!
Gene Fodor!
Gene, was good.
But be careful, because the worst trips result when two partners have two different agendas.
The CIA really need your help, Gene.
Freeze, Americano! Huh? Oh!
Gene, run!
Listen to Fodor's Guide to Espionage on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff from the Science Lab from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the podcast. This is Allison Loudermilk, the science editor at HowStuffWorks.com.
This is Robert Lamb, science writer at HowStuffWorks.com. And this week we're talking about
Toilets in Space! Yes, indeed. We thought we'd preface the podcast by opening up with some frightening bathroom stories of our own.
Well, this one's... I'm generally pretty horrified by porta-potties anyway.
Yes, understandably.
And I found myself at the Coachella Music Festival a few years back.
Oh, yes.
Which is a great music festival. And to their credit, they didn't just have your normal stinky porta-johns there. They also had this deal that was on the back of a truck that they brought in, and it was like basically like a full restaurant bathroom. I mean, it was still heavily trafficked and was, you know, kind of yucky, but it wasn't as yucky as the other bathroom. So I'm like, all right, I need to, you know, use the restroom real quick. I'm going to go in there and then try not to use the restroom for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah.
Which is generally my plan when it comes to outdoor events. So I get on board, right? I go inside, I'm taking care of my business, and then suddenly I'm the only one in there.
Oh,
and
no.
Did
the truck start moving?
It didn't start moving, but I heard like an engine roaring, and some guy like opened the door and he's like, "Is everybody out?" And I'm like, "No, don't leave with me on board, because I wouldn't get to enjoy the music festival and I would be dumped in a landfill somewhere or something." So that was a close call.
Robert, I'm glad you saved that one for the podcast, because that's a truly amazing story. Yeah, I think on my part, I occasionally like to run races. And so before the start of a marathon or a half marathon or a 10K, whatever, what are you going to want to do? You're not going to want to, you know, go while you're running, not like those crazy marathon runners. I mean, I'm just tempted.
Wait, people go while they're running?
Yes, absolutely. Haven't you ever seen that? Like the marathon?
Like
the serious
two?
Ones do. I don't know about number two, but there was that one woman. Anyway, we don't need to get into that, because this is a podcast about space toilets.
Yes.
But yeah, some of my more frightening bathroom moments have occurred at the porta-johns before races. But I would like to point out, as you did, that some of them are nice. We had porta-johns at our wedding, and they were very cleanly.
Oh, cool. I would hope so. I mean, especially if they're new. That's the thing. When a porta-john's new, that's when to go.
And they have that lovely air freshener scent. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about going in space.
Yeah, if you're going to go up to the International Space Station right now and use the restroom, you'd find a unisex facility, and there's a they have a funnel that fits over the genital region. For both men and women, there's like a separate attachment for each. And you can go standing up or sitting down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, I mean, you're going to be virtually weightless anyway and floating. It's going to be awkward no matter how you choose to position yourself. And then to prevent the astronaut from floating away.
You have to kind of strap him in, right?
Yeah, you basically have to strap yourself down. So there are foot restraints. There's a toe bar to slip the feet under. And there's even this thigh bar that's a lot like what you put on when you go and climb into a roller coaster. And it's going to be the same sort of upset stomach feeling, you know, on board the space station. So that makes sense. And there's no water in the bowl of the toilet. It's all using air.
So the air kind of pulls the waste away. It acts like the water would in a, you know, an earthbound toilet. Mm-hmm. And it kind of pushes the waste away from the astronaut's body and, you know, flushes it essentially.
Yeah,
right?
There's like a spinning blade in the bottom of the bowl. And it like sucks everything down, slings it against the sides. And
like a centrifuge, kind of, huh?
Yeah, and there are these like little holes in the side that like suck up the moisture. Because that's a big thing, is to separate the moisture from the solids.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because the moisture can be recycled.
And of course, you have to have some way to filter the air, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, and then you have to filter out the air, which can then be breathed again. On the ISS, liquid waste are recycled through special water treatment facility and then turned back into drinking water. Which we'll go into a little more later. And solid waste goes into a plastic bag.
So as you can imagine, there have been some pretty historic moments between astronauts or cosmonauts, as the case may be.
And, yeah, it was kind of a long way getting to the modern super toilet in space.
Yeah, yeah. We actually do have an article, Top 10 Moments in Space Bathroom mm-hmm. History, should you care to delve into the subject a little bit more. But let's start off with one of the first memorable moments. Compliments of Alan B. Shepard and his historic first manned U.S. spaceflight on May 5th, 1961.
Yeah, and this is, I think, the only entry, the only historical event that we're going to discuss that has been filmed and that has been dramatized for the big screen. This is featured in The Right Stuff.
Oh, poor Alan. You know, he was supposed to go into space for 15 minutes, you know, mm-hmm. not too long. Maybe he could hold it if, you know, he'd done whatever he had done, or maybe drunk some coffee or hydrated a little bit before he got on the flight. But of course, NASA, you know, faces delays mm-hmm. and there are some technical difficulties, some weather issues. And so, you know, Alan was sitting there for 4 hours. That's a long time.
That's right.
And so he threw in the proverbial towel and he told Mission Control, "Hey, listen, guys, I gotta go." And they said, "No way." So Shepard had to go in a suit, essentially.
But it didn't, I mean, everything was okay. But yeah, it's like they hadn't quite planned that out exactly. In 1984, aboard the Space Shuttle Discovery, this is really fascinating here, the aircraft's wastewater venting system failed. And so you ended up having this giant icicle made of urine began to form on the outside of the shovel. So you can
Lord.
Sort of picture it like this dagger, this yellow frozen dagger, like sticking out of the side of the ship. And
of course, they couldn't leave it there.
Right? Yeah, they realized that that they started into reentry. The icicle could detach. It could damage the heat tiles and then put everybody in real jeopardy. So they had to use the shuttle's robotic arm to reach out and like attack the urine sickle and break it off so that they could re-enter. It's like, I mean, this is robots versus space urine. I mean, it doesn't get any more amazing than that.
Yeah, the robot won.
Yeah, the robot won. Tiles were saved. The crew had no trouble returning, but they had to shut down the urine collection system for the rest of the trip, which was 6 days.
Which brings me to my point. I mean, we were talking about this. How long could you feasibly hold it? I mean, you're not going to be able to hold it for 6 days, so maybe you just go back to more primitive methods of collection?
Yeah, or you could just try and hold it as long as possible, I guess.
Yeah, so what does happen to you physiologically if you hold it? We looked into this because mm-hmm. I was curious. You know, it's not actually your bladder bursting so much, because your bladder is this amazingly, like, tough, muscular bag. Mm-hmm. It's really more a question of the flow kind of backing up and going back into your kidneys and then having all sorts of issues with disrupting your chemical balance.
Supposedly, that's how Tycho Brahe died, the famed astronomer.
Yeah, I saw that on the Straight Dope. I don't buy it.
Well, no, there are two different versions of this. Well, there's also a really big theory that he may have been poisoned by a rival But the older story was that he was sitting at the banquet table and he was having such a great time that he didn't want to get up and relieve himself. So he just held it and it ended up backing up and killing him. So there you go. Another space connection.
That doesn't sound like a pleasant way to go. So then, of course, you guys are familiar with the wearable toilet, essentially the space diaper.
Babies use these a lot, right?
Yeah, I am familiar with the disposable kind, as I see a lot of those these days. Having children, two young ones, actually one of whom has almost finished potty training. Hooray! So yeah, going to the bathroom becomes even more challenging when astronauts take a walk outside the spacecraft. So what are they going to use then? They can't really, you know, just drop their spacesuit or whatever. Mm-hmm. So they have to use one of these super absorbent adult diapers. And these things are crazy, crazy absorbent. They can hold a quart of liquid. And then, of course, astronauts are going to use diapers on takeoff and landing. And, you know, after the takeoff and landing or the spacewalk, whatever it is that you have to wear a diaper for, they just dispose them in a storage area and, you know, be done with it.
And as we learned in 2004, with the case of Lisa Nowak, you can also wear them if you have just a really long, angry drive ahead of you to go confront a rival suitor, right?
Yeah, I believe Lisa's rival was Colleen Shipman.
And basically an astronaut love triangle here. And she had some of these magnificent space diapers with her. And so, yeah, she brought them along. I understand she didn't actually use them, but the idea was that she brought them in case she just wanted to keep driving.
And yeah, Lisa was always prepared, it seems like. And it seems like one of her diapers may have ended up for auction on eBay with a starting bid of about $2,000.
Wow.
So there, how about that? But I'm not quite done with this subject yet, because we also need to tell you what the Japanese Aerospace Exploration Agency has been working on. So they've been working on this toilet that's a lot like a high-tech diaper.
Well, there you go. I mean, anytime there's some sort of technology, the Japanese always come up with something more amazing.
Well, so this one's pretty ingenious. And if it goes through, basically, if you're an astronaut, you will never have to take a bathroom break. And that's pretty handy because you have a lot of important stuff mm-hmm. to do on these missions, you know.
Yeah. Sometimes like literally your life hangs in the balance and there's just no time.
Right, right.
Hit the head.
So the Japanese have thought of this and they've come up with this idea for a toilet that contains motion sensors. And these sensors can detect when an astronaut is going to the bathroom and trigger this automatic suction unit that can draw the waste away. Okay, here's the part that I really love about this. So once you're done doing your business, the machine washes and dries the wearer. And also, according to JAXA, you can go to the bathroom in close quarters without any of your astronaut colleagues knowing.
Yeah, I don't buy that at all. I'm thinking you're going to know. Like, how are you not going to look like you're soiling yourself while you listen to your fellow astronauts' conversation? I mean, unless you look like that all the time, and then God help you, it must be a miserable conversationalist anyway.
It would be sort of an awkward conversation.
Yeah. But what do you think about the possibility for future, like, infant diapers? Do you think there'll come a time where you put on, like, one diaper a week? And in the good way and not in a neglecting parent kind of way, you know? Just strap them on, diaper takes care of everything, and then, you know, like after a week, you're like, all right, take care of the diaper.
I'm not sure how you would take care of sort of some of the sanitary issues involved there.
The diaper does it.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Japanese babies of the future are going to be just completely self-contained.
So take us on board the Apollo and some of the horrors there.
Oh, God, yeah. Now, this is my favorite. And again, these are your old school space bathroom facilities, and they are our current backup plans. So if the modern toilet fails, this is what they may end up doing. If you're going to go number two, and this, then you're going to have to use something that looks apparently like a top hat, except it does not go on your head. It, basically you tape this to your backside.
Oh.
Yeah. And then you poop in it. But
where did you find this out, by the way?
Well, there are a couple sources, for this. Andrew Chaikin's description of this is in A Man on the Moon, The Voyages of the Apollo Astronauts. And then aerospace education specialist Gordon Eskridge also wrote about it in 2009. Eskridge wrote about it in a little more detail than we're going to get to here. So if you want the really down and dirty facts, then you need to seek out his essay, Astronauts Trained for Using the Bathroom in Space. It's a very riveting read. But yeah, basically you tape this top hat, to your rear, you do your business, and then you have to, knead germicide into the contents.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. And then you're gonna have to, like, everything's labeled, so it's in color coded, so you write down when you went, who you are, and then later this goes back and NASA can analyze it to see, how you were digesting everything. Because it's, and it makes perfect sense. It's like if you're gonna be forced to use the emergency toilet, and you're gonna have to bag it and bring it back home, you might as well be able to and you can gain a lot of important, health information from looking at stool. It's that simple. However, according to Chaykin, one Apollo 7 astronaut, shared this bit of advice that you should be prepared to, quote, get naked, allow an hour, and have plenty of tissues handy. So it does not sound like a pleasant, ordeal at all. And that's just going number two. Number one apparently, involves, hooking yourself up to this kind of tube, which for, the men is, an adhesive condom that kind of empties to the outside of the ship. Which is also sounds potentially horrible.
Right, suction could pose a problem.
Yeah, everybody can use their imagination on that one. Apollo astronauts really had to rough it. These guys don't know how easy they have it.
No doubt. Well, so the bathrooms may have gotten better, but today there's a little bit of infighting, specifically among the Russians and the Americans.
And they are not fighting over the top hat.
They're not fighting over the top hat, indeed. So, living on the International Space Station, you know, I mean, people get a little cranky, you know, you're in my space, give me some elbow room.
Yeah, it's basically
gotta
like
have the bathroom.
Big Brother show, right, except in space, with people who should know better.
Right, right. I mean, you know, we're conducting this vaulted research and these crazy missions. And
yeah, in one of the most extreme and dangerous environments that we venture into.
But it all comes down to petty stuff, like who gets to use the bathroom. So in 2009, cosmonaut Podolka, a Russian gentleman, took that universal struggle to new heights. And he told a Russian newspaper that the Americans weren't letting him use the bathroom on their side of the space station.
Oh, burn.
Yeah, yeah. So the Americans, as it turns out, were getting back at the Russians, who had started fining NASA for resources used by the U.S. astronauts. And so they'd started doing this back in 2003. So NASA had enough and they're like, you know what? You're going to fine us. We're not going to let you use the can.
And what I love about this is that it's generally not the astronauts really. This comes down to Russia and the United States, haven't been getting along all that well of late. So there's been some tension and it just sort of spills over, into orbit. And to me, anyway, I think it illuminates just how petty, like it looks pretty petty in orbit when it's like fights over food or bathrooms, not sharing food and not sharing the bathroom. But it kind of illuminates just how petty any of the conflict is, you know?
Yeah, I gotta imagine that the astronauts and the cosmonauts in space aren't really gonna be arguing. I imagine they get along pretty well.
Yeah.
I would hope so. Maybe I'm an optimist. But back on Earth, in the States or in Russia, it's some poor slob's job to define these policies about bathroom use and who may use what. It's crazy.
Yeah. And it's also some poor slob's job here on Earth to get budgets approved to pay for all this stuff up there, of course.
How much are we talking?
Well, in 2008, NASA announced plans to invest $250 million in a space toilet. And
I imagine that went over well with the constituents.
Yeah, because, I mean,
taxpayers of the United States.
Yeah, and the headline writes itself. It's like NASA, you know, wants to spend $250 million on a toilet while, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just it's ridiculous sounding. But the toilet in question involved a water processor that filters urine and makes and also takes sweat and moisture from hanging wet towels and makes it all drinkable again and usable. So it's not just one guy uses the bathroom and then we're out that water. You would be able to recycle it. And it's not like it would just have, uses in space, like this kind of technology.
Right.
You know, sort of like Velcro, you know? We develop it for up there, we end up using it down here. Work on a fancy,
filtration system.
Well, water filtration system, for orbit, and eventually we may be able to reap the fruits of that technology here on Earth.
Yeah, and they also said it had some serious conservation benefits to the tune of about 7 tons of water yearly.
Yeah, and which is, it sounds like a lot here, it's even more up there. Because remember, everything, every resource in orbit has to be transported there at great cost.
Right. So my question for you is, would you drink the water?
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, just like in Dune.
Oh, in Dune.
Yeah.
Right. Dune comes up in a lot of podcasts these
days.
Yeah,
it does. Have you seen it?
Have
you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it.
You lied about seeing it in the last podcast.
Robert, we don't even need to get there. Because I want to tell you about the 2009 toilet breakdown.
Okay.
Okay. So, what happens when you know, your facilities break on Earth? You call the plumber, right? But what happens when a commode goes on the fritz in space? It's not as easy. So, back in July 2009, one of the toilets on the International Space Station broke when its pump separator flooded. So it forced the six crew members and seven visiting astronauts from the space shuttle Endeavour to share one facility, one toilet on the U.S. side. Or, of course, they could ask permission to use the Russian facilities.
Oh, and I bet that was a headache.
Yeah, nobody wants to do that. So at least the astronauts had other working facilities available. A year earlier, the space station was equipped with only one toilet. And when that one went...
Then it was just bring out the top hats, right?
Well, they were left crossing their fingers and their legs. I guess they were able to form some emergency plumbing tricks, and they got it back up.
Yeah, I have to say that, I mean...
That's stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, the stress of being an astronaut and then the stress of not being able to relieve yourself.
Yeah, I mean, just a toilet going wrong on Earth, like in your own house. I mean, for me, that's just devastating and a little maddening. Like, it happened to us one time. It wasn't our fault at all. It was like some sort of sewage thing. And I hear like a gurgling and I go in and it's just like a nightmare, you know, rising up from the toilet and then overflowing. And I almost couldn't handle it. So I can't imagine if there hadn't been gravity. Jesus.
I remember this one holiday we had my family down. It was one of the first years we were living in Atlanta, and my parents came down and my brother came down, and we were all sharing this one bathroom in this rental house we lived in. And of course, that's when the facilities go. And one of my family members, who shall remain nameless, the thing got backed up, and you know, there were toilets, you know, and there were all of our towels. We dealt with all new towels. It was bad. Yeah. So, I mean, it's stressful on Earth. Imagine what it's like in space.
Yeah.
Right.
One thing about urine in space, though, is that it's supposedly pretty beautiful.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the astronauts' accounts have mentioned that, when urine has been ejected outside of a spaceship, that it freezes instantly. And so you have all these little golden ice crystals that just sort of drift off, and they catch the sunlight and glint. So it's supposed to be downright pretty.
I believe it.
Yeah. So that's what we got. There's some interesting facts about going to the bathroom in space.
Yeah, mull over that the next time you have to hit the throne.
So yeah, you can hit our blogs to find out what the latest podcast topics are, and find out about such things as the wonders of the double sex chicken.
Yeah, and if you guys want to send us an email about space bathrooms or something related, shoot us a note at sciencestuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
If you want to level up your marketing and business knowledge, look no further than the Marketing School podcast, hosted by Neil Patel and yours truly, Eric Sue. It is the number one marketing podcast on Apple and number 15 on business in the United States. Now, if you want to listen to interesting conversations with operators that have been there, done that, also with other interesting guests, then listen to Marketing School every weekday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.